Hey there.
Hey guys, I'm Tyler. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, Marlon, for asking me to speak today. It's weird how AA works, right? Like, I've been, like, very shitty lately on service and, like, just being a really good AA member. And Marlon's like, just go stand in front of a bunch of people and just talk for half an hour or so. This is good for me. I can really relate a lot to your story, Tyler. I guess we relate more than just first name, but the whole introvert and everything growing up, the whole weird thing. I feel like a lot of us are like that. But I guess I'll start off with saying my sobriety date is August 26, 2014. This is my home group, which I occasionally come to every once in a while, which is not good. I have to up the game on that. I have a sponsor, and I'm available to sponsor others. I think I sponsor some people by title, which is pretty cool, but I'm not actively working with anybody, which is not cool for me. So, anyway, I was trying to think of what I was going to talk about as Tyler was talking, and I was just, like, getting bored and just thinking about my own story in my head. But I guess that's, like, the only thing I really know for sure, so I'll just stick with that. So I grew up in Tampa, just like Tyler. I never really wanted for anything materially. It seemed like a pretty normal family, I think. I mean, my dad was a raging alcoholic and a crack addict, but you know what I mean? When, like, you're like a little kid and, you know, you grow up with that, it seems normal because, you know, it's not like I came from somewhere else and went into that. I just kind of went into it. So, from a young age, like I related with Tyler a lot, I felt really weird. I did feel like I was, like, the smartest person on a different level than everybody else, but I also had, like, paralyzing social anxiety. I had trouble talking with other people. So, like, when I'm trapped inside here all the time, like, of course I'm the smartest person I know, right? I don't fucking talk to anybody. But anyway, I just felt really weird. I had very bad social anxiety. I always worried about what other people thought of me, like, first and foremost. One of my earliest memories was, I think when I was 4 or 5, my dad had signed me and my brother up for, like, summer camp at YMCA. And, like, I was mortified and, like, didn't want to go because I wasn't, like, cool with what I was wearing. Like, I think my dad dressed me, it was like the red Power Rangers shirt with, like, the matching Power Rangers pants. And I didn't have the matching shoes or anything, but I just remember thinking, like, that didn't look really cool. And so I, like, threw a huge hissy fit and, like, would not go into YMCA. And so my dad dropped me off, and then my dad's going to leave, and I ran back out, and I was like, they said that the class today is canceled or whatever. All the kids got to go home. And he was like, really? He's like, you know, he's like, shit, like, I have to work. You know, I work for a living, Tyler. And so we're on the way home, and then, like, somebody from the YMCA called my dad and was like, your son is missing. We don't know where he is. Like, have you, you know, we're really concerned. And my dad's like, he's in the car with me. He said the thing was canceled. And they're like, no, everybody's here, you know, waiting for Ty, you know. And, oh, my God, my dad drove me back, and I had to, like, walk back in, you know. I'm just, oh, it's so ashamed. Anyway, so that's, like, how I was. I was just, like, a really weird fucker. And so, yeah. And then at the same time also, like, you know, watching my dad drink and use drugs, like, I really, like, didn't want to do any of that stuff. Like, I really wasn't interested in drinking or drugs. I remember as I was getting older, like, in middle school and high school, like, other kids would do it, and I'd, like, judge them. Like, I'd feel like they were less than for doing it. And then, you know, I still tried, like, weed and tried drinking, but I don't know what it was. Like, I just didn't, like, really take a hold. You know what I mean? I feel like I could just take it or leave it. Like, I didn't care. But as I got older, and it seemed to correlate with going into, like, schools with, like, larger student populations, right? So, like, middle school to high school is, like, very stressful for me because it's, like, just a bunch of people around me all the time, and that just stressed me out. And then going from high school to FSU, And then also not having like a place to run away, but like back home, like just go run home and be at home in my safe spot. Like I'm in a dorm with like another stranger. Like it was just very fucking stressful for me, man. It was hard. And I still didn't catch on to the drinking thing. I did drink some when I was at FSU, but I was like a straight A student. I didn't party a lot, but I was just like super depressed. Like, always thinking about killing myself. I mean, all the time. Almost did it a couple times. I was just really miserable. And sophomore year, I moved in with a kid named, man, I gotta speed this shit up. I've been sober, like, sober longer than I was even fucking drinking. Anyway, I moved in with this kid, and he used to drink like an 18-pack of beer a day, and his name was Craig. And Craig was always in a good mood, and he always wanted to hang out with me, you know what I mean? There was like nothing I could do to upset Craig, or, you know, upset Craig, and I was like, he'd always ask me to drink with him, and I was like, no, you know, I'm like, I'm watching my calories. I had an eating disorder too. We're not even going to go into that, but I was like, you know, I'm watching my calories and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. But then I started drinking with him, and then I don't know what it was, man. Like, I'd drinking before, and I'd like smoked weed before. Those are pretty much the only two things I did. But when I started drinking with him, like, I don't know what it was. Like, I just felt like all of my stress, anxieties, and worries, kind of like Tyler was describing, and a lot of people described from the podium, but I really just felt like fucking numb. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I am constantly hypersensitive, emotional, blah, 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 blah. And when I drink a lot, like, it just numbs me. Like, I don't feel nothing. And I loved it. It was like a light bulb had went off in my head, and I always thought of it from like a scientific point of view. Like, this was my medicine, my coping mechanism for like being in the world, because I was so lame. And so this would be my medicine, and like, this is how I was gonna live life. Like, I'm like, immediately there was no, it talks about in the big book, like, there's the moderate drinker, hard drinker, and real alcoholic, and some people pass through the phases. Like, for me, it was just like immediately, within a week, I'm like drinking before going to class in the morning. You know what I mean? Taking a couple shots of Captain Morgan, going to class, coming back home, doing it some more, going to class, falling asleep at 12. You know what I mean? It just, and then I'm like bringing it with me to campus, showing up to all my classes shit-faced, showing up to work shit-faced. I mean, it just progressed like very, very, very quickly for me. And I mean, yeah, it stayed like that from, I started drinking like that when I was 19, and I got sober when I was 25. So there was one like kind of event that happened during that time frame, and that is when I turned 22. I got put on medical leave from school for alcoholism, and I had to go to it wasn't Turning Point, it was some other place, it was here in Tampa, but basically, like, it got to the point where when I started drinking on Thursday night, like, I didn't stop drinking till, like, the next Wednesday, and it wasn't like, I had went out to college bars and stuff like that. I'd done that before, but it seemed like I was getting in more and more like trouble. I was waking up at other like strangers' homes, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. Or yeah, just like really frightening shit, right? Because I was just blackout almost every time I drank. So I started just like drinking alone. And it seemed like when I would start, and I would tell myself like this is a kind of like where I'm starting to control it. I'm like, I have like school, like I have some serious shit going on. Like, I actually have to do some of this work to stay in school, and I need to buckle down and do it. And I would start on a Thursday, and I'd miss class Friday, I'd miss work Saturday, Sunday, miss Monday, Tuesday, and come to. And I did that one or two times, and then I ended up calling my mom and was like, I need help. You know what I mean? Can you come get me? And so that's how it was. And so I remember I went to this outpatient program, and they asked me what I thought was wrong with me, and I was like, I think I have, I'm drinking too much, and they're like, yeah, you know, you might, from what it sounds like, you might, you know, might be an alcoholic. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I really didn't know what it meant to be an alcoholic, right? I didn't know that I had the allergy of the body, that when I put alcohol in me, I react differently, and I just developed this phenomenon of craving, and I can't stop drinking, right? Once I start, I cannot stop. That's part one. And the second part is the mental obsession, which, despite knowing that I can't stop when I start, I cannot stay stopped from drinking, through every form of self-deception and bullshit rationalization on my part. I will find a reason to start, I will start drinking again. I didn't know that yet. I just heard alcoholic, and I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know what that means, but whatever. But I really thought that if I went to this outpatient program and I studied the material that we went over, and took notes and underlined in the book and stuff, I was gonna approach it like school. You know what I mean? I was a really good test taker, and because I was a good test taker, I always thought that I was actually smart. But I found out it's not always true. I'm just good at taking tests. So anyway, that's the approach I took to sobriety, and it didn't work. And another thing is at this program, you had to go to AA 3 or 4 times a week and get your paper signed, and for some reason, I don't know, I'd heard of AA, but I really didn't know much about it, and it really weirded me out when they gave me a meeting schedule, and it was all in churches, and I was like, do they not have these? I'm like, you know what I mean, educational facilities, maybe at high school or college somewhere, or whatever, they're all in churches, and I was like, okay. And the first meeting I went to, it was in Brandon. It was off Lumsden and Parsons, I think, somewhere over there. And I hated it. I hated AA, man. Those people weirded me out. I felt embarrassed for the people in there that they were sharing. I thought they were gonna. Sorry, I dropped George's napkin. I thought they were gonna kind of teach me in the outpatient program, these tricks and stuff to stay sober, and they were all talking about really personal shit. They're talking about shit for me that you keep that stuff to yourself and you bury it deep down. You know what I mean? Couple shovelfuls of dirt over it and stomp that down. Don't bring that shit up in public. And these people are talking about it out loud. You know what I mean? Real personal stuff. And I was like, ugh. It just, made me want to vomit. And then at the end, they all held hands and started saying the Lord's Prayer. And I was like, this is fucking, you know what I mean? It's bizarre. It was bizarre to me. It still is bizarre. Think about this. What's going on here? But it was weird, man. And I didn't get it. I did not understand how what they had done in that hour time frame had anything to do with me staying sober. And I remember my mom called me when I was leaving, and she was like, how was your, first AA meeting? And I was like, I feel bad for those people, Mom. It sucks that I have to go there to get this paper signed, which I found out 10 weeks later, I could just sign the paper myself. Not a big deal. I think I'm smart. I'm not that smart. I kept going for 10 weeks. But it's just every time I went to AA, all I thought of is these are just, religious weirdos. And that's it. I immediately wrote it off. I'm not going to do that. And went on my merry way. And again, I still didn't know what having alcoholism meant, right? I really didn't understand that physical allergy, and I didn't understand nor respect that mental obsession. And for me, so from 22 to 25, I was trying to figure out any way I could besides AA to stay sober. And dude, I was so ashamed of myself of having to go to a rehab place at 22 for alcoholism and have to talk to a psychologist and all this stuff just to be able to go back to school. And I mean, I couldn't imagine my life getting any lower. And And it did, man. It kept getting lower. Like every time I drank, you know, the longer I kept drinking, the lower and lower levels I would stoop to. I mean, I won't go through too many stories because, like I said, I would go out. Going out in public was real scary for me because, again, thank you. I would wake up at strangers' houses and I would misplace my truck, or I would do something or say something to like family members that I didn't remember, and it just wasn't good. And but yeah, man. I mean, long story short, like I got to the point where I was about to be like homeless. You know what I mean? At 25, like I'd gotten Marshman acted. I got fired from my job for like the third time that year. I just could not. I mean, I couldn't keep my job. I couldn't keep any relationships. I had zero friends. Family was very distant. I mean, I just fucking couldn't do. The only thing I could do was like wake up and drink. Like that's how I progressed. And the last year or so, it wasn't even enjoyable for me. I just didn't know how to do anything else. You know what I mean? I couldn't imagine going back to not drinking and being like that scared man-ish child. You know what I mean? That's like full of anxiety, full of fear, full of suicidal thoughts, all this stuff. I couldn't imagine going that. And at the same time, like as I'm drinking, like I'm right back to there. Like I thought that drinking was gonna be the magical cure and answer to the problem with me, and it wasn't. It wasn't doing anything for me anymore, and I couldn't stop doing it. So it sucked, man. It sucked, you know, alcohol poisoning all the time, throwing up, laying in the fetal position, in my apartment at 2 in the afternoon, listening to Alice in Chains, just waiting until I could keep some water down to drink again. I mean, that was my fucking life. And anyway, it got to a point to where a bunch of things happened at once. Marshman acted, fired, I think I'm going to be homeless, I don't have any money, I don't have any income. I don't know what to do, and so my nana was like, my nana's my grandmother, my mom's side of the family, is like, just would not give up on me. I think I detoxed at her house like 3 or 4 times in the beginning of 2014. She just wouldn't give up, man. She just wouldn't give up, and she brought me over to her house, and so I detoxed there with her again, and this dude called me, and he had gotten my number from my dad, and this guy worked at the Salvation Army ARC here in Tampa, and my dad had been through there a couple of times, and my dad knew that I was in a tight spot, and so he reached out to this guy and said, hey, can you call my son? Like, I think he needs help. And the dude called me and just asked if I wanted to meet up with him and talk. He said his name was Brett. And I was like, yeah, man. I didn't say yeah, man. It was more like, I don't have much else. Like, I don't want to be alive. Like, he was like, you know, I'll get you a coffee. And I was like, all right, I like the iced coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. It's pretty tasty. I'll meet you there. So we met up at Dunkin' Donuts and I don't know what it was, dude. I know what it is now, right? It's AA. It's like the complete just love and acceptance of strangers, right? This is how the fellowship of AA is and has been in my experience. But, you know, everybody in my life at that time was not happy to see Tyler. I remember my uncle, who's like, he's like my father. I remember he's also the one that fired me. I worked for him. And he's like, I hope that you go see a doctor or you go to AA and meet a sponsor. And he said, I hope that they stick their arm up your ass and rip your intestines out, because that's how you make me feel every time I try to help you, right? That's how my uncle was with me. And but I met up with Brett, and he smiled, and he was like, what's up, killer? And he had a bunch of little nicknames for me, like Hot Rod and Hot Shot and stuff, but he just asked me what was going on, and I told him what was going on, and he didn't judge me or get upset or anything, and he shared with me, like, his experience with drinking. And he told me about how he was homeless and he lived on the streets and he used to, you know, steal from the dumpsters at McDonald's and rip people off for Listerine and all kinds of shit, man. And but he said he got sober through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and just listening to him and talking to him and just looking at him, like, I knew that he wasn't the same person that he used to be, right? Like, he was not in the same boat as I was in, right? Or he was not in the same spot. Like, he was on a different level. He just seemed really happy. He seemed cool from his description of what he used to be like. He was not happy and he was not cool, right? He was a miserable piece of shit like me. And I wanted what he had, man. And I didn't ask him to be my sponsor. He's like, you know, he's like, are you willing to go to A Length to stay sober? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, you know, how are you and God? And I said, ooh. I was like, his first little speed bump here. I was like, I don't believe in God. And he's like, I believe in, he's like, no, how do you say it? He said, I know that there's a God and it's not you. And I was like, okay. He's like, because I recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and you had nothing to do with it. And he's like, that's a power greater than you. And he's like, so I know that there's a God, and it's not you. Like, are you willing to just roll with that? There is a God, and it's not you. And I was like, absolutely. You know what I mean? I can roll with that. You know what I mean? He was like a devout Christian wearing a cross, but he wasn't like the religious cult leader. I thought what was going on in AA. You know, he's pretty lax, just as long as I was willing to believe in something greater than myself. And then so that was the second question. And then he asked me, how soon do you want to feel better? And I was like, he was mocking me. He's a real funny guy. He was like, like right now? You want to feel better like right now? And I was like, yes. Like right now, I want to not feel like dying. Right now. He's like, okay. He's like, well, it doesn't happen that quick. But he's like, you will start to feel better and your life will start to get better in proportion to your work in the big book and doing the steps. And I was like, because I'd been to AA before. I remember I'd been rolling around with Glenn and Mark. That Mark's still a home group member here. Glenn's not anymore. But I was rolling around with them when I was like sticking my foot back in the water with AA, but I wasn't doing AA, right? That's another experience I had in early 2014, is like coming and sitting in a room of Alcoholics Anonymous. Doesn't give me sobriety, right? It's just, you know, just because I go sit in a chicken coop doesn't make me a chicken. Just if I sit in a room of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not a sober member of AA, right? So that was a hard lesson too. We'll just skip over that. But yeah. So he was like, I was asking him, I was like, are we gonna do a step a month? A step a week? How are we gonna roll with this? And he's like, we'll just go like as however quickly you do it. He's like, dude, he's like, the time frame's on you. Like, you told me you don't want to feel like dying anymore and feel miserable all the time, and you don't want to drink anymore. Like, it's on you. Like, let me know where you're at and I'll tell you what to do. I was like, okay. And he gave me a list of 5 things to do every day, right? Pray in the morning, ask God to help me stay sober, even though I didn't believe in God at the time, whatever. He said, I didn't give a shit. Just do it. Number 2 is to, what the hell was number 2? Read something spiritual in nature. So for me, he was like, it's a big book in the 12 and 12. Start reading those. 3 is going to be, you know, make a meeting. And I was like, oh, it's like, you're like one of those 90 meetings in 90 days guys. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not, you know, your boss. He's like, you're a big boy. He's like, I would just strongly suggest that for every day you would normally drink, go to a meeting. And I was like, I went to, you know, I drank every day. And he's like, you might hit 90 at 90. You never know. So, okay, cool. Number 4 was to talk to another addict or alcoholic about recovery every day. And number 5 was pray before I went to sleep and thank God or higher power or whatever for helping me stay sober. And we just started, that's how I started, man. That's how we started rolling. And I didn't have any, like, burning bush experiences or, you know, all of a sudden spiritual awakenings or whatever. But over time, from going to meetings every day, calling my sponsor, right, calling somebody and telling another human being, especially another grown man, that I didn't know what I was doing and that I was scared and that I needed help was not something that I did, right? I remember the first time I came to AA, I asked, can I get, like, a lady to sponsor me? I feel like, you know, I'm not going to talk to another dude. That's weird. And they were like, no. And I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, so what I've learned over time is that, or over time, well, to this day, is like when I do stuff that is not natural or normal for me to do, I start to think and react to life differently than I normally would, right? I do stuff that I'm not used to doing, it's not natural for me. And then I start feeling and acting and thinking differently than I was, right? And that's like the whole, gotcha. That's like how AA works, man. That's a beautiful thing. Like, I'd went and seen like two mental health counselors, a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and my main problem is like I can't stay stopped from drinking. Like, I knew that once I started, I wasn't able to like stop, but I couldn't stay stopped. And I tried everything I could think of to like take care of like this problem, right? Which in the book it says the problem we have centers in our mind. And AA was the last thing I tried, and when I realized from doing the steps, like step 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, it's having a psychic change, like something up here has to change. And it took me so long to get that and understand that and appreciate it, but I mean, it's just a really cool thing, right? It's like, and that's how it is. So that's how it was like when I first got sober, and that's how it is for me today as well, right? It seems like that when I do what is natural for me to do, which is to not ask for help, not be honest with other people, isolate, do my own thing, when I do those things, I start to feel like shit, right? I start to feel like I used to feel when I was drinking. And when I do things like call my sponsor, when there's a problem, nip it in the butt and tell them, you know, I'm scared, I'm angry, I don't know what I'm doing, I need help. When I talk to him, when I come to AA and be of service, when I make meetings, when I try to help new people, I do all these things that is not natural for me to do whatsoever. And it makes me feel awesome, man. It takes care of the mental, not only the mental obsession of drink, but a bunch of other things. Like, before I got sober, I would not be able to stand like in front of you guys and just talk like this. Just talking, I remember public speaking in high school. There was like 15 kids in my class, and I had to leave class like 3 or 4 times just because I would have stomach cramps. So I'd be so freaking stressed out just standing in front of other people and talking. And I don't know, man. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. I feel like I've told part of my story. I know that I continue to stay sober one day at a time by just the grace of God and the like free, loving fellowship that AA provides. Basically the love and acceptance of complete strangers, right? So that's how it works, and hopefully that helps somebody and I could be of service other than this in the future. That's all I got. Thanks.